Good evening and welcome to our Sunday evening Bible study. I thank you for giving me this privilege to share with you God's Word, and I encourage you to turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. We're going to begin reading reading in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne of grace with thanksgiving and praying, Lord, that you will take this message, that you will open our eyes and our ears, give us understanding, that we may know you, that we may, through this study, be able to identify the false teachers that rise up in our age and not be led astray by them, Lord. Lord, we love you, and again, we pray for your guidance in this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, it's continuing our study here in 2 Peter, and the first thing I want you to understand is the subject of which Peter's writing, and that subject is the subject of false teachers. And so today we're going to learn how to identify false teachers. And I want you to understand, first of all, that a false teacher is not only a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. It can be anyone who would bring wrong teaching or conduct into your life. And it could be your friends. It could be your religious denomination. And it may be a professed atheist, it may be another denomination, and it may be a preacher. But whatever the case, I want you to be able to see and recognize a false teacher for who he or she is, so that you'll not be led astray by that false teacher. So today we're going to take a look at identifying these false teachers, and there are four things I want to point out to you about a false teacher that you can identify. Number one, consider their instinct. Verse 12 says, "But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil." They're like natural brute beasts. And what they're talking about is the way they think and their very basic instincts of how they operate. They're driven by natural desires of the flesh, and they operate from instinct, which is in their nature. Give you an example. Animals have instinct. Okay? An animal, a lion, has an instinct to attack and devour. A bear has an instinct to attack and devour. A snake has an instinct to bite. But there are also instincts in these false teachers, ways that they naturally go. For example, an atheist. Have you ever noticed how that the atheists of our culture today seem to be so bent upon attacking people of the faith? It's happening in our colleges where our college professors who are atheists think it's their job to attack our children of faith and to denounce them and embarrass them in front of others, and trying to discredit them, making them look uneducated if they believe that there's a God. That's their nature. I've come to the realization that just because you can win an argument does not mean you're right. It just means you're good at arguing. So before you back up and give validity to someone who would cast stones at the Christian faith, consider who it's coming from and consider why they're doing it. They're acting out of a devilish instinct, attacking people of the faith. It even occurs in our community of faith. Look at the instinct. Have you ever known a Christian whose response to adversity or when something didn't go their way, their response was bitterness, hatred, anger that they just couldn't get over? Take note. They're acting out of instinct. And that instinct does not come from God. Have you ever known a Christian who was immoral, ungodly? He professed Christ, but his life was no different than those of the world. He has an instinct problem. Have you ever known a Christian who was always stirring up problems in the church, and everywhere he went, it seems like trouble would follow him? There's an instinct. There's a nature problem, an instinct problem. You see, when we're saved, when a person becomes a child of God, we are made a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things are become new, according to the Word of God. Now that doesn't mean we're made perfect and that we'll never stumble again, but it does mean we have a new nature. And for us to try and live in that old nature is in direct opposition to who we are. That's why Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God." I believe, number one, you can identify false teachers by their nature and by their instinct. Number two, you can identify false teachers by their sin. Verse 13, "And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you." They are habitual sinners. When he says it, they count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime, that word carouse, it's talking about self-indulgence and without self-control. And the point being is they don't care and they do not even try to hide their sinful conduct, but parade their sin openly for all to see. Is that not where we are today? The tragedy of our culture is that people are no longer ashamed of sin. And we have wrongly given people the title of hypocrite, because occasionally they fall or stumble and sin, and the world look at them and say, "Well, you're a hypocrite because you sinned." No, listen. When you go public with your sin and wear your sin like a badge of honor and there is no shame, you are a false teacher that would lead others astray. That's what Peter meant here when he said they carouse in the daytime. The tragedy of our culture is that, again, people are no longer ashamed of their sin. We have gay pride parades. We have men and women who choose no longer to be bound by the bond of marriage, but rather just live together. We have teenage pregnancies that it's treated like, "Well, it's no big deal anymore." Well, I want to tell you something. Sin is a big deal. And it is filtered into our churches so that you cannot even distinguish between the believer and the non-believer. And the way that it's filtered into our churches is false teachers whom we have accepted and allowed to bring it into the churches. There was a day when churches were holy. And God's people were ashamed. Yes, they sinned, but they were ashamed and had remorse for their sin. False teachers have no remorse, but they parade that sin openly. Third way you can you can identify a false teacher. You can watch their recruiting methods. Look at verse 14 again. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. Oh, listen. And listen good. The false teacher will do all he can to bait his prey into a sinful behavior. It first happened in the book of Genesis. That's what that word enticing means. It means to bait. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, we see the character and the nature of Satan as he approaches Adam and Eve. And he asked Adam and Eve, "Are you able to eat of all the fruit of the tree of the garden?" And he said, "No, there's one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're not allowed to eat. God said, if we eat it, we'll surely die." No, Satan said, "You won't die, but you will become as God yourself." He dangled the bait in front of them, saying, "This is what you can be." But you know what he didn't share? He did not share the consequences of the sin. Did not share the separation from God that would take place because of that sin. Did not share with them that they would lose their rightful place as custodians of the garden of God. Did not share the pain, the torture, the torment that sin entering into that family would cause. He just dangled the bait. What happened? Of course, Adam and Eve took that bait and thrust all of mankind into sin. Listen, my friends. There are false teachers in this world that dangle the bait in front of Christians today, and we gobble it up as though it's no big deal. And we're led in those ungodly relationships. We're led in those ungodly actions and ungodly conduct. And they never show you the consequences. I've said this quite often before, but I'll say it again with this message. I think alcohol is a real problem in our society. I think it's a problem that should be avoided. But if you'll notice, let's face it, who has the best commercials on TV? The alcohol companies. Are they related to good friends and good times? And they dangle that bait in front of the consumer. But they never show you the lives, the marriages that are destroyed because of the alcoholic. They don't show you that. See, there are false teachers, false prophets that would lead you down the road to destruction. Last part of verse 12. It says, "And will utterly perish in their own corruption." The end is always the same. You have to watch. Don't just take the bait. Look what happens as the consequences for your action. All right, number one, how do you identify them? You consider their nature. Number two, you see their habitual sin. Number three, you look at their recruiting methods. They entice people without telling them the whole story. And then finally, number four, they follow the money. And verse 14, once again. It says, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices, and are accursed children. For they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They follow the money. The goal of their ministry is money. Personal gain. They are greedy. They are covetousness. They are out to get all they can get. And what we need to be aware of today is that religion is big business. So much so that churches have come to the point where they're so worried about being politically correct and accepting behavior that's sinful and just patting everybody on the back and saying we're all trying to get to heaven. No longer do churches preach sin. No longer do churches preach about hell. No longer do churches stand against the sins that are plaguing this culture because they're afraid the stand will cost them members and those members will take their money elsewhere. Let me tell you something, my friend. Church was never intended to be a business. It's not about big budgets and about big buildings. It's about, thus saith the Lord, it's about God honoring conduct. You see, that was the problem with this fellow Balaam that Peter shared, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam was a prophet who was hired by a man named Balak to curse Israel. And the first time Balak approached Balaam, Balaam said, oh no, they're people of God, I can't do it. And it was because God had told him, don't you curse my people, they're my people. Balak approached a second time. Balaam said, no, can't do it. Third time. Finally, Balaam went with Balak. You know, it's funny the way he went. He still told him, I can only do what God tells me to do, but I'll go with you. And it says the anger of God was kindled against Balaam. And it's very interesting. Two times God said, don't go. Third time, Balaam prayed about it and asked God, and God finally said, if he comes back, you can go with him, but don't curse my people. Well, of course, he got up the next morning and he didn't wait for Balak to come back. He saddled up and took off after them on his own. It says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Balaam, and along the way, an angel stood in his path that Balaam was not able to see, but his donkey saw it. So the donkey turned out of the road, went to the field, and Balak became angry and beat that donkey until he went back in the road. Second time, an angel stood in the road, and it was a narrow place in the road, and that donkey went up trying to squeeze around that angel. It says it crushed his leg against a wall of the vineyard. Once again, he beat that donkey, and a third time, the angel stood, sword in hand, drawn. And that donkey couldn't go either right or left. There was no place to turn, and that donkey collapsed under Balaam and just laid down in the middle of the road. Balaam, furious, he took his staff and he began to beat that donkey. And that donkey said, why are you beating me? That's a first red flag. If a donkey ever talks to you, you better set up and take notice. The donkey said, why are you beating me? And Balaam said, I'm beating you because three times now you have gone the wrong way and not listened to my direction. And Balaam said, you're just lucky right now I don't have a sword, because if I had a sword, I'd kill you. And then God opened Balaam's eyes. And he sees the angel, sword drawn, in the road. And God told him that donkey had saved his life. That had he not turned as he did, then Balaam would have surely been killed. Now the point to the whole story is this. It took a donkey, the madness of a donkey, this said, to restrain the prophet. I look at the world today, and I see lives who are absolutely torn apart by the sins and the enticements of false teachers. Teachers who are trying to or who are doing nothing more than lining their own pockets and getting all they can get, taking advantage of other people. I often mention TV evangelists, and don't get me wrong, there are some really good preachers on the television today, but there are some that are not in it for anything but the money. Church is not about money. Church is to promote individual relationships with God. And it can't do that if they never stand for the truth of the Word of God. God is never for sale. Oh, we can justify. Just like old Balaam. Well, I'll go. I won't curse Israel, but I'll go. It almost cost him his life. And ultimately, it did cost him. Today, we have to be aware that not everybody who says they care about you really does care about you. We have to be aware that everybody who says they believe Jesus Christ doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. We have to be aware that there are people, there are traps set out there for God's people, and the point of that trap is to get you as far away from God as they can possibly get you. That's why this is so very important for the believer today. Don't just think of a false prophet as someone who stands behind a pulpit. Think of a false prophet as anyone who would lead you down the wrong road. And once you identify that false prophet, steer clear of it. Run. Do not let him destroy the relationship that you have in Jesus Christ. My friends, I want to share with you one final thing. And that final thing is that Jesus Christ loves you so much that He gave His life for you upon the cross of Calvary. That He died so that you could have eternal life. Now, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, asking Him forgiveness of your sin, asking Him to save you, then my friends, you're not going to heaven, but eternity awaits you in hell. Tonight, why not take care of that? You know that Jesus Christ gave His life for your sins. You know that He was buried, rose again on the third day, and today is seated at the right hand of God. You know all that, but you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Will you take care of that tonight? Will you call upon the name of the Lord? Because I tell you the truth, upon the authority of the script of the Word of God, there is a hell, and there is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. You can be as good as you want to be. You can try as hard as you want to try. But you will never earn your way to heaven because you are a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until you address the sin problem through Jesus Christ, you'll not address your real problem. Will you call upon Jesus, asking Him to save you tonight? Once again, thank you for the opportunity to share the Word of God. I want to close with you in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to be diligent. Help us to be on guard for false teachers. False teachers who would lead us astray. False teachers who would entice us to sin. False teachers who would take advantage. Help us, Lord, to identify them for who they are. And just resist them as well as to avoid them. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. May You bless it to our hearts that we may grow thereby. In Jesus' name.